Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's do this. What are the experts thinking of your Houston Texans this week? We power rank the power rankings, an exercise we've been doing since the Lovie Smith years. This is not something that Payne and Pendergast have climbed aboard because people are saying all kinds of nice, flowery things about the Texans, and we're basking in it. We were doing this back when the Texans were being largely ignored or just subjected to stick them 31st. How's that
sound? We
would
get excited about the Texans getting into the 20s.
Yes.
Pete Prisco was our reliable friend in that regard.
He was.
Pete Prisco would just throw us a bone and give us a 29 or a 28.
It felt great.
It was nice. Those were the salad days.
Those were. Now, a little different now, man. The Texans are actually hobnobbing with all the big cheeses in the upper reaches of the power rankings. There have only been four that have been dropped so far this morning. NFL.com, as per usual, seems to have more important things to do than put their power rankings out. So we'll go with the four that we've got, and we will start with SI.com, Connor Orr. They are ranked fourth in the – they being SI.com are ranked fourth in our power ranking of the power rankings. Why? Because they've got the Texans ranked the lowest of any of these outlets. They are a seventh best team in the NFL, according to SI.com. Here's what they have to say, Seth. Seeing how successful the Texans were in terms of EPA per play on rushing downs obviously illustrates the effectiveness of Joe Mixon in this particular offense. The big-bodied, powerful back, who also has receiving skills, was a desire of Houston's all offseason. Now I wonder what they'll do for Mixon insurance down the stretch. Even though Damian Pierce had a nice long run in this game, he's clearly not what this offense wants on a down-by-down basis. Ooh, I don't know about that. I think they want him. I don't know if he is what...
Yeah, whether he is or not. Yeah, but they want him. Yeah.
I wonder if Kansas City, this is Orr talking, I wonder if Kansas City would be open to downsize and lose any of their backs, or if the Panthers would part with Chuba Hubbard, given that he's a free agent next year anyway. I don't think Kansas City's doing anything to help the Texans. I'll tell them that right now. Kansas City.
Yeah, and I don't think that that's that's something for down the line.
Yeah.
I don't think that the insurance right there at running back, I feel like they are who they are right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, trade deadline's going to be here in a couple of weeks. It's sneaking up on us pretty quick.
So for the indignancy meter, who can you be indignant about being ahead of the Texans there? The Commanders at 4-2 are ahead of the Texans. And then the Green Bay Packers. You know, we get a nice little face off here this week to see. Both those teams are 4-2. The Commanders have that. The Commanders are overcoming the late arriving the dynamic psychologically, and yet it's hard for me not to be impressed with everything that Washington has done.
Yeah, I think on a neutral field the Texans would be favored over the Commanders. I think they'd be favored. The Commanders are very good. That would be the only one that's the only one that I take issue with. Maybe the Packers too, but like you said, we'll know in 6 days who the better team is among those two teams. So we'll know with the Packers, we'll know with the Ravens, who are fourth, we'll know with, they've already lost to the Vikings, who are third.
Yeah.
They play or have played all five of those top teams that are ahead of the Commanders. It's Texans 7, Commanders 6, and then it's five teams on the Texans schedule, and the only one they've played so far is the Vikings, who they lost resoundingly to, 34-7. So, schedule in the second half of the season, man. It's gonna be interesting.
The Lions have the biggest thing they have going for them right now is that it's not like they've faced a murderer's row of a schedule, and they've had some. You know, like they squeaked one out against the Steelers. They squeaked one out against the Rams. They just squeaked. You know, they beat the Cardinals by a touchdown. I guess they've got a couple of the more emphatic wins versus quality opponents. Yeah, like, whatever the Cowboys are, whether they're quality or not, I mean, they just smacked them the hell down last week. And then the Lions over the Seahawks with a convincing victory over them. They've got more quality wins if this was the college football playoff committee than the Texans do at this point.
I would say that, and they've been super impressive in a couple of them, whereas the Texans haven't really been super impressive.
Yeah.
If it's a beauty contest. Biggest question for the Lions, and we're going to get to these other power rankings here in a second, what is life with Aiden Hutchinson, or without Aiden Hutchinson, like moving forward? I mean, he's their best player, and they just lost him for the season, you know, at an impact position. All right, power ranking of the power rankings. SI.com is fourth. Number three, The Athletic. TheAthletic.com. And they've got one big question for each team. And the big question for the Texans, can Tank Dell step up?
Here's
what they say. Sunday was a good start, but just a start. Dell caught 7 passes for 57 yards against the Patriots, his highest catch total and second highest yardage total of the season. The first 5 games had been rough for the second-year wide receiver. His EPA per target is down from last year. But with Nico Collins now injured, Tank Dell needs to return to form. Houston leads the AFC South by 2 games, and the Texans need to start planning for the playoffs. Easy. I think they're a playoff team, but I hate when I see people in week 6 or week 7 saying they need to start planning for the playoffs. They were probably saying the same thing about the Jags last year, much further into the season than this. They'll need Dell in peak form even after Nico Collins comes back.
I think that the game, because the Texans had a healthy margin in the entire second half, I'm curious how that game would have gone if they had to be more aggressive downfield, because there were times where CJ had plenty of time in the pocket. Versus a 4-man rush, I think the Texans have shown a lot of progress in pass protection over the last couple weeks. And there were times where Tank was on a vertical route versus like quarters or cover 2, where it looked like, man, maybe if they'd extended the play longer, they could have taken that shot. And they opted for the safer route, and CJ was getting rid of the ball quickly. I think it's there depending on what the game situation is.
Yeah.
I think at some point in the next few weeks, while Nico Collins is out, you're going to see some deep strikes out of Tank Dell.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that last week's game was the first without Nico Collins, but then also it ended up being one where you're playing more preservation mode than anything else. So I'm optimistic we're going to see a big explosion out of Tank Dell.
Yep. All right, next one. The power ranking of the power rankings would be ESPN has the Houston Texans rated 4th in their power ranking. So the Texans are rated 4th. The category this week, or the topic this week for each team, is what's the lesson they've learned thus far this season. DJ Bienemé writes this for ESPN.com. He's the Texans beat writer. He said, lesson learned, the Texans can win in the clutch. Houston is undefeated in 1-score games, as 4 of their first 5 games, or 4 of the 5 wins, have been within 1 possession, including 2 on game-winning drives. The Texans showed they could win a nasty slugfest in Week 5 against the Bills. Houston showed it could win a shootout in Week 1 against the Colts. The Texans' defense closed out the Bears on the last drive in Week 2. D'Amico Ryan said the reason for their success is they make plays in situational football.
They make plays in situational football. I think, too, the overall strategy is one that I've learned this from the Bill O'Brien years. So Bill O'Brien, did he remain undefeated when having a lead at halftime?
No.
He did, but his record was pretty lopsided.
It was pretty good,
right?
Yeah,
I think that it never – the appropriate strategy and all the conservatism and everything else that comes in maintaining a lead in the second half, it never feels good and it never feels right, and yet it's effective over time. That's where I've tried to learn to have a little humility about it. Like, all right, I got to give these guys the credit of the doubt, or benefit of the doubt, because they seem to know what they're doing with it.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of that with the Texans, where you start worrying more about, like, okay, how do we take possessions away from the other side? What do we do that, first downs are more important than chunks, all this other stuff. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch. And yet, I think D'Amico, on the whole of it, over these last 2 years, has done a really good job with it. And sometimes playing the excruciatingly painful conservative style in the fourth quarter, it's the right strategy. It just never feels like it in the moment.
They're really good at it. They're 11 and 3. They're 11-3 in 1-score, down to the last minute, down to the wire games. 11-3 since D'Amico Ryan's got here. They've won 7 of those types of games in a row.
Yeah,
going back to last season. So they're really good at it. They do it an exorbitant amount. That's all.
The biggest decision that I know a lot of people still criticize Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans for was last week versus the Bills, passing the ball on 3rd down where you're in field goal position. The penalty ends up knocking them out of field goal position. And the biggest argument for that that still bothers people is the time management side of it. You're trying to take the clock down. I think that for me, it was a 56-yard field goal at that point. Mm-hmm. And I think that you got to balance the chance of credibly kicking a field goal while also if you complete what should have been an easy pass if somebody had run the right route. Either Tank Dell or Dalton Schultz didn't adjust their route the right way on that play. I get it. And it ends up being the worst possible scenario where you lose the down and get knocked out of field goal range. But I don't care who your kicker is, you can't just accept the 56-yard field goal.
No.
Like it's no big deal. And you're going against a defense that, as Bobby said, they were anticipating zero blitz and they got a zero blitz. With that run game, it's probably a tackle for a 2-yard loss. So it ends up being a 58-yard field goal.
Yep. Last one. In the power ranking of the power rankings. And there's big news. This is the second straight week. Texans third in CBSSports.com, which is first in the power ranking of the power ranking. CBSSports.com has the Texans 3. Devontae Adams is a New York Jet.
Oh! Never could have predicted that.
It's expected to get finalized today. I'm literally pulling up Schefter tweets as we talk. I just got a bunch of push notifications. The Jets and Raiders are working to complete a trade for Devontae Adams. Ian Rapoport was actually the first one on this. Schefter even gives him credit for it. But I don't have push notifications for Rapoport. Compensation update. The trade for Devontae Adams is expected to get finalized today per sources. It will be a conditional third-round pick that can become a second-round pick. I'm guessing, Seth, presumably based on playing time and stats and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So what everybody expected was the most likely outcome ends up being the most likely outcome.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of they've probably been talking this entire time. But remember, this is not Aaron Rodgers being the actual general manager of the Jets. This is just the thing that happened that people have been predicting for a year based on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it just so happens he's got yet another former Green Bay Packer running routes for him now.
I don't know. I play football. I'm just a quarterback out there doing my thing. And these guys just bring in whomever. No, but it's hard to criticize the move, right?
It's a good move.
It makes the most sense. Yeah, this is what you should do. You got an aging quarterback. You put your cojones on the table for all of this. You might as well get him a guy that already is on the same page with him. I think this can pay long term benefits as well. And just can Devontae Adams be a good mentor for Garrett Wilson in getting on the same page with Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers has always been a guy that doesn't like young receivers because they don't have that ESP level of communication with Aaron Rodgers. And that, like, you can see that this year where Wilson's still not, he's not young anymore, but this is the first time he's played with an actual NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
And there's some seasoning that he needs that Devontae Adams, even if he's only there for a year or two, can probably leave long-term benefit if Aaron Rodgers keeps playing football.
When he's healthy, Devontae Adams is still, in my opinion, one of the 10 best receivers in football when he's healthy. And I'm guessing his hamstring that's kept him out the last couple weeks has miraculously made a ton of progress in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's got, like, all of a sudden, like, wow, this hamstring feels a lot better looking at this headline on First Take that I'm getting traded to the New York Jets. I think what will be interesting, especially in it, looking at it, you know, covering a team that just did a similar trade, a very similar trade with Stephon Diggs, very similar. Almost, I mean, you know, compensation in that same range, you know, a day two pick being the premier asset that you're sending over to the other team. Do the Jets do something similar with Devontae Adams' contract that the Texans did with Stephon Diggs? Devontae Adams is still under contract for like two more years after this, but it's at an exorbitant salary that the Jets would be stupid to pay. It's like $36 million a year for each of the next 2 years with not a ton of guaranteed money. And obviously the Raiders are eating a ton of dead money to make this trade on all the bonus money they gave him and everything. That's what I'll be interested to see, because Aaron Rodgers is under contract for another year after this. So do they make this something with Davante Adams? Do they completely rework his deal to where it's coterminous and now the band is back together again in New York?
My guess is that that's what the last week has been, the last week or two. Ever since, has it been 2 weeks since the official trade request was made?
I think so, yeah.
I'm guessing that that's probably what they've been talking about for the last couple weeks. So we found out with the Texans that the Texans had agreed in advance with Stephon Diggs' contract tweaking. It wasn't like that was. It wasn't like Stephon Diggs, you know, threatened not to show up or something after the trade was consummated.
Yep.
So I'm guessing that there's some kind of contract adjustment has already been made.
Yeah, we'll see. It better be, or else he's done after this year. There, they ain't paying him $35.6 million next year. I don't think they can afford to. You know, they've got a lot of big contracts on that
team. Aaron Rodgers has already taken a pay cut once to try to accommodate bringing in other guys in. Maybe you do that for this
one. Well, maybe for this one, yeah. So that's the big news. Davante Adams, Raiders.
Oh, wait a minute. The Texans. Oh, okay. Now I made it about us. Oh, yeah. No, I don't like this at all. No, I don't like this.
They're going to play Davante Adams in 3 weeks. Yeah.
No, I hate this. This is the worst thing that, I hate this.
Does this make you?
I was more thinking about the NFL at large.
Yeah, no. Okay. I mean, I think I know the answer just based on your reaction there. You're more nervous about, and you should be, more nervous about the Jets. Davante Adams is a good player.
Yes.
Did you feel like the Texans, before this trade, did you feel like the Texans were going up to New York and winning that game in a couple of weeks?
No. Okay. I hadn't handicapped it yet or anything, but the Jets' defense is for real. At least they were when Robert Saleh was in charge.
Yeah.
Then yesterday they give up 370 yards or so of offense, and didn't look like they were operating as smoothly without Robert Saleh there.
Yeah.
So that's the big question over the next few weeks is, I'm honestly still more concerned about the Jets defense than I am their offense, but this makes things a lot more interesting.
For sure. Yeah, definitely more interesting. Yeah. Raiders, if you missed it, Raiders finalizing deal to trade Davante Adams to the New York Jets.
You see, the last couple of weeks with the Texans defense, they've done a really good job in a lot of respects, but it was also against two teams that didn't really have good receiver cores. The Jets are different, and
they've got two good receivers
now. Yeah, so their ability to play man, even when they have Kamari Lassiter there, it'll be really tested with the Jets more so than the last couple of weeks.
All right, so we'll circle back to that news. What does it mean to the Texans? What does it mean to the AFC? I'm starting to think too. What does it mean for the Raiders? Is that a roster that GMs that have playoff teams should now be looking at as sort of a garage sale out there in Las Vegas based on no quarterback out there really, and they just traded Davante Adams?
Yeah. The position that you got to be start looking around for is linebacker, because the Henry Toto is injured. We don't know exactly what's going on there, but they might be without their two starting linebackers this next week, and as well as Neville Hewitt played in 30 plus snaps last week, they've not felt great about the other linebackers on the roster up until this point in the season. So that might be something that we see in the next couple weeks, depending on what these injuries are.
Yep. All right. So we'll stay on the Davante Adams. We'll keep an eye out for any more details. But Raiders finalizing a deal to send Davante Adams back with Aaron Rodgers again, and they will be New York Jets. Will Anderson. Big injury in the NFL. It wasn't Will Anderson, but a big injury in the NFL shuffles the odds on Defensive Player of the Year. Where does Will Anderson fall on this? I was surprised by this, pleasantly. We'll get to that coming up next.